And now, Nocturne. Before we finish our quiet stroll through the garden, let's return to Blackwater Estate, a place where moonlight dances on dark water, lonely hearts can hear exactly what they long to hear, and not every ghost haunts us with the past. Some text good morning. Tonight's story explores romance, deception, and the price we sometimes pay for believing in fairy tales. Catfished. The house on Blackwater Lake has many versions. In one dimension, two happy lovers wander its grounds, carrying a tarnished key and a secret. In another, the house stands empty beneath a sky filled with strange stars. In this world, Evelyn Hart worked from home. At 61, Evelyn owned the sprawling Victorian mansion outright. Every room held evidence of a life well lived. Bookshelves lined with marketing texts and poetry, oil paintings and tapestries collected during her travels, antique lamps casting pools of amber light across hardwood floors. She built advertising campaigns for mid-sized companies, dental practices, landscaping firms, regional banks. She was bright, disciplined, respected, but yearning. Her loneliness was especially strange because she wasn't alone. For nearly 12 years, Evelyn had lived with her husband, Martin. From the outside, they looked comfortable and established. Inside the relationship, though, a different reality existed. Martin had strayed many times. There had been waitresses, the women from his gym, the former co-workers. The messages she discovered and the lies that followed, every confrontation ended the same way. Apologies, excuses, promises, temporary improvement. Then eventually another distraction. Evelyn stayed, partly because untangling two lives after more than a decade felt exhausting, and she also matured into a respect for human nature that understood monogamy is unnatural. And Martin had become so familiar and boring to her that she had hardly cared anymore who or what he did. Martin wasn't overtly cruel. He simply treated her love as something that would always be there, like sunlight or running water, something valuable only after it disappears. Over time, Evelyn stopped expecting tenderness from him, stopped trying to give it. The relationship became a shared address. She knew she played a part in this. It was a comfortable routine and a shared silence they both agreed to. The old Victorian estate remained beautiful, her favorite place. One rainy Tuesday in October, while Martin was away on yet another fishing trip, Evelyn made a prospecting call to a company in Houston. It lasted only 4 minutes. The man's name was Daniel Mercer. He was warm and funny, interested. Most prospects rushed her off the phone. Daniel lingered. When she mentioned the storm battering the nearby coast, he asked if she was safe. When she joked about working too much, he told her to remember to eat dinner. Such a small thing. Yet Martin hadn't made a comment like that in years. 3 days later, Daniel emailed, then texted. Soon they were exchanging good morning messages, good night messages, photos of coffee cups, sunsets, meals, the small rituals of companionship. Did you sleep well? How's your daughter? How's your grandson doing? Promise me you're taking care of yourself. At first, Evelyn told herself it was harmless, a friendship, nothing more, but she knew better. The truth arrived one evening when she caught herself smiling at her phone before opening Daniel's message. She had crossed a line. The irony wasn't lost on her. After ignoring years of Martin's dishonesty, she had become the unfaithful one. Yet what she felt wasn't excitement. It was relief. She didn't have to be the good one anymore. What the hell for? She had needs too. Needs good behavior never met. Someone cared now whether she existed. Someone seemed delighted by her presence. Daniel explained he worked on offshore oil rigs near Indonesia. He was 63 years old and widowed with one grown son. He spoke about missing intimacy and connection and home. The things he said sounded less like flirting and more like understanding, as though he had somehow found the exact shape of her loneliness. One night, after months of talking, Evelyn sat in her clawfoot tub and listened to him through wireless earbuds. His voice rolled through the darkness, deep and comforting. "I wish I was there with you." She closed her eyes. "So do I." The words slipped out before she could stop them. Neither mentioned love, but both understood they had entered its territory. The fantasy bloomed quietly, like mold beneath wallpaper, invisible until it covered everything. The first request came 6 months later. Small, temporary, a payroll issue, just $3,000. Daniel even sounded embarrassed, humiliated. Evelyn transferred the money. He repaid it 2 weeks later, exactly as promised. Trust deepened. The second request was larger. $7,000. A transportation problem. This time, no repayment, but the excuse seemed convincing enough. He was growing through a rough patch. He gave enough to keep the illusion alive, to make every future request seem reasonable. Then the stories grew stranger. His contract ended. He needed money for emergency transportation home. Then his flight was delayed, then rerouted, then stranded. One morning he sent frantic messages. His charter plane had crashed in a remote jungle. Several passengers injured. No communications infrastructure. Local villagers were helping and the plane needed repairs. He needed money. Always money. Thousands. Then tens of thousands. Evelyn's savings dwindled. But Daniel never stopped loving her. Never stopped checking whether she'd eaten breakfast or forgot her birthday. He never missed an opportunity to tell her she was beautiful. Never failed to remind her that the moment he got home, they would finally be together. It was a fantasy so intoxicating that it eclipsed reality. Martin still slept down the hall. Yet emotionally, Evelyn had already left him. Yeah, the money hurt, but the affection healed. Or it seemed to. By the time she crossed $200,000, reality had become secondary. She wasn't investing in Daniel. She was investing in a future. Another chance at great romance. The fairy tale contract. The ancient bargain. Suffer now. Receive love later. Then the dreams began. Every night, the same dream. She walked through the mansion, room after room. Someone watched her. Not from outside, from within the walls. She turned corners and glimpsed figures standing motionless behind windows. Women, dozens of them, watching, writing, recording. One carried a clipboard, another typed on a laptop. Another smiled as if she knew Evelyn personally. Each night they appeared closer. Each night the house felt less like a home and more like a stage. One morning Evelyn woke convinced someone had stood right beside her bed watching her sleep. She searched the house and found nothing. Yet she could not shake the feeling. The sensation lingered like fingerprints on her thoughts. 3 weeks later, Daniel claimed he had been arrested. Somebody on the repaired aircraft had apparently used it to smuggle some drugs. Daniel needed bail money right away. $30,000. Evelyn stared at the request. Something finally cracked. Not her faith, not yet. Her suspension of disbelief. The story sounded crazy. Even Daniel admitted that, but somehow he always sounded sincere and grateful and loving. She opened her banking app. Available balance, $2,814. Her life savings was gone. $250,000. Gone. The realization landed like a falling tree. And she didn't take out a second mortgage on her home or get a loan like he suggested, like she at first considered. Instead, she searched. Phone numbers, photos, names, records. For 14 hours, she searched. At 3 a.m, she found the image. A smiling retiree from Oregon. The real Daniel Mercer. His photographs had been stolen years earlier. The grief arrived before the anger, because despite everything, she missed him. She missed the texts, the attention, the daily concern, the being understood. And perhaps most painfully of all, she realized she missed a person who had never existed more than she missed the man sleeping in her own house. The next morning, her phone buzzed. A message. Not from Daniel. A different number. One sentence. We know where your grandson goes to school. Evelyn froze. Another message arrived. Please continue cooperating. Attached was a photo of her grandson walking into school 2 days earlier. Her blood turned cold. Then she noticed something. The angle, the perspective. The image appeared to have been taken from above, like someone floating overhead, watching. Months later, federal authorities raided an illegal call center all the way in Kolkata. Hundreds of workers, thousands of victims, millions stolen. News reports described sophisticated social engineering. Data harvesting, psychological profiling, the usual horrors. But one investigator quietly mentioned something stranger. Workers reported using a technique taught by management, an old practice, one used by governments, an esoteric practice, remote viewing. The ability to observe distant people and places through focused consciousness. Some investigators dismissed it as superstition. Yet victims consistently reported impossible breaches of privacy, knowledge nobody should possess, details nobody had shared. Among the workers was a woman named Priya, 34, gifted and haunted, her abilities siphoned since she was a child. When authorities searched her workstation, they found a notebook. Inside were detailed observations about Evelyn. The layout of her mansion, her bedroom, the painting above her fireplace, the exact wording of private conversations she'd had alone. Pages and pages of notes, as if someone had walked invisibly through Evelyn's life. A year later, Evelyn still lived in the mansion. Martin no longer did. Not because of the affair or the money, but because the catastrophe had forced her to confront every fantasy she had been using to avoid reality, his and hers. Her fantasy that he would suddenly become faithful. His fantasy that the many women would rescue him from his loneliness. The fantasy that love arrives in the form of a perfect stranger who somehow knows exactly what to say. That somewhere beyond the horizon lives a perfect lover who will arrive to heal every wound, erase every disappointment, and complete an unfinished life. One autumn evening, she sat on the porch with a glass of wine. Moonlight shimmered across Blackwater Lake. A text notification appeared. Unknown number. Her pulse quickened. The message contained only three words. Have you eaten? Nothing else. No demand, no threat, no request. Just the question. The same question that had opened the door years ago. Evelyn stared at the screen, then looked back at the dark water. Across the lake stood another version of the mansion. A reflection. Or perhaps something more. For a brief moment, she thought she saw figures standing in its windows, watching, waiting, taking notes. The moon slipped behind a cloud and the figures vanished. Evelyn deleted the message, blocked the number. Then she kicked up her feet and took one last sip. Across the black water, unseen eyes continued watching from the windows of the other house. Patient, curious, searching for the next lonely heart willing to mistake attention for love. And somewhere a phone vibrated. A new victim answered. The mansion smiled. And the story began again. I'm Inanna Joy, award-winning author, cultural commentator, and creator of The Garden of Evolution. Thank you for spending this time with me here in Inanna Joy's Sonic Garden, where we explore evolved love, sensual intelligence, freedom, and deeper human connection. If you like what you heard here, be sure to tune in to www.rockinhotradio.com every Thursday, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to stay from start to finish for the full show. You'll hear readings from phenomenal books, dynamic interviews, great music, great stories, and more. For automatic show reminders, email me at info@inanna-joy.com with the subject line, Sonic Bloom. If tonight's conversation moved you, challenged you, or expanded your thinking, be sure to pick up my award-winning book, Fuck Submission, Ending the Gender Wars for Good, available now on Amazon. And don't forget to leave a review later. You can catch me on Instagram with the handle @JoyInanna and on Facebook as Inanna Joy. Or to learn more about me and read my blog, check out www.inanna-joy.com. That's www.inanna-joy.com. Until next time, follow your bliss to your purpose. Align with your joy and live well. I'll meet you again soon in Inanna Joy's Sonic Garden.
Time's been moving slowly, so we already in too deep. Can't get no sleep on each other. Heavy teasing all day, and when the sun sets, you ask.